time for a deep dive into the one issue that matters most in a capitalist democracy, money. This is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of the Maggie Dawn Show and the Patriotic Millionaires. Now, here's Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, Wisconsin and beyond. I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. And as it is the 3 o'clock hour, it means it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We are wrapping up an absolutely fabulous week of this segment by focusing on working people. And we're going to pick right up where we left off yesterday with John Driscoll by talking to another successful businessman who believes we should be paying working people better, our good friend Stephen Prince. Stephen is the vice chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, and he is the true bootstrap story of America. He was born poor in Waycross, Georgia. And in 1993, he founded National Business Products, now known as Card Market Inc., as a gift card and in-store marketing material production company. He basically sells gift cards, and a lot of them. Since selling the majority of his company in 2019, Stephen has focused on his real estate investments, traveling, and his efforts to make the USA what it was like before greed and short-sightedness took over this country. We've got Stephen on today to talk about how he, as a businessman, a capitalist, and himself a millionaire, believes we need to rethink how we structure our economy, and in particular, how we treat and pay working people, the engine of the U.S. economy. Welcome back, Stephen. I'm so happy to have you again. You were with me at the very beginning of the Maggie and the Millionaires segments, and it feels like full circle to have you back again to talk about this very fundamental issue. John Driscoll said that paying employees at least a living wage is an investment in your business, and that it's good for all businesses, whether it's a small startup or a huge corporation. As a businessman, as an investor, as a millionaire, do you agree with that? How do you do that math?
You know, first of all, let me say, I don't know that you really needed me on here today, Maggie. You say it all pretty well yourself, but nonetheless, I'll certainly be happy to weigh in. To me, it's hard to imagine that people who are business people don't understand the fact that paying your employees and all employees at least a living wage, if not an exceptional wage, is not the best way to achieve success with your business. It's ludicrous to think that otherwise. I don't know many companies, and there certainly are some, I mean, and I could name some of them, that underpay their employees and they still do very well. But to me, you know, it goes, to me, the simplest calculation for considering this point is that we are unequivocally, and everyone knows anything about economics realizes that the United States economy is a consumer driven country. 66%, full two thirds of our whole economic flow is driven by consumers. And yet we don't realize that putting money in their pockets is the best way to drive our economy. Instead, we, for some delirious reason, decide that we as owners or we as executives in corporations, we need to keep it all to ourselves. The fallacy for that is that those of us that have plenty of money don't spend a lot of money, certainly not on consumable items. We already have a house, many times several. We already have cars, and they all have brand new tires on them. We have more clothes than we know what to wear. I mean, we just don't consume because we have everything we want. Yet we don't want to pay the people who work for us a wage that allows them to cover the essentials of life, shelter, clothing, healthcare, those kinds of things, but then go buy other things that, like the rest of us in America, we really don't need, but they have a right to have excess the same way that the rest of us do. To me, again, it's ludicrous that we even have to have this conversation. Paying the people that you know, the dock strikers work, right, that just, you know, put a short-term yes. stop today. I mean, those guys are already making pretty good money, but the people in their industry are making tremendous amounts of money. They just don't want to share it. And to me, it's short-sighted, it's ill-founded, and I think that sooner or later, I'd like to think that sooner or later we'll figure this out, but we're not, because greed is a universal attribute to mankind. And if we get in the position where we can activate our greed attribute, we will, or most people do. But John Driscoll is certainly a great example of someone who not only doesn't activate that greed attribute, but he's proven that not doing so is a good business move. Look at the success he's experienced. So to me, to not recognize the fact that paying your employees a living wage, a thriving wage, it makes all the sense in the world. It's good business.
Folks, that's Stephen Prince, my special guest for this episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. To summarize what you said, rich people are not the engine of this country's democracy or capitalistic economy, because rich people already have everything that they need. They've already bought it, so they are not the consumers. The middle class working people are consumers and thus are the engine of our economy. And John, I've got to ask you, because this comes up all the time, it seems like some sort of collective hallucination has taken hold. Even when I'm talking to folks that tend to vote Democratic, I hear this concern about paying people a dignity wage, right? Enough, not just to live, but to thrive. They seem to, businesses are going to collapse. What do you pinpoint as the cause of this collective misunderstanding? Is it, frankly, our culture's embracing and lionization of greed? Does this go back to, you know, greed is good in the movie Wall Street? Is it that basic that we've made greed like a value instead of something that should be discouraged and that our tax code should not be promoting?
Well, it really isn't complex. We human beings like to think that we're much more sophisticated and universally aware than we really are. Greed is a really deep dive human attribute, and we'll call it anything but that. But the way that corporations are running themselves today, the way Wall Street is running themselves today, and I was thinking about this when we were talking about paying people salary. Look at Wall Street as a perfect example, in the banking industry in New York and all the big banks that are there. You know, these young people come out of college and they start at salaries of $250,000. And if they're there another year, then the chances are they're going to last a little while because they burn out so soon, or they don't burn out at all. And then they start climbing precipitously, $500,000 a year, $750,000 a year. Before you know it, they're making $1 or $2 million a year. Now, it's the same executives that run those companies, whether it's Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley or whoever it is. These are the same guys that will go out and tell some of their corporations that they've invested in Kansas City or Atlanta, Georgia, wherever they've invested in, and say, you've got to cut salaries. You've got to cut salaries. That's the only way you're going to get profitability. Well, they don't do it. I mean, look what they're doing with their own employees. They're paying their own employees these crazy salaries to stay on board. So they're contradicting their own concept, yet they tell their corporation clients or the companies that they've invested in. It's just a fallacy. Why do we do it? It's an easy, I mean, it's like getting the second dessert. You don't need that second dessert, but it's there. So yeah, I'll have another slice of pie and give me some extra ice cream on there. It's just a natural human attribute. We are greedy, selfish creatures. And I don't know what, if there is a repair. The only thing that repairs it is legislation. That's the only way we can fix it. You're not going to cajole people into doing the right thing. You have to make them do the right thing. And that's legislation.
That is Stephen Prince, himself a millionaire, a rich guy, and a self-made one at that. He is my special guest on this episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. You have been highly successful in business. You have overseen tens of thousands of employees over the course of your career. How did you decide how to pay and how much to pay your employees?
It's just always been kind of an innate sense of mine that treating everyone the way that you would want to be treated if you were in their position, the old golden rule is, it's a valid approach to life. And when our company was coming up, we made money early on. We were profitable the first year we were in business. As we grew and then as we got in the gift card business, it was a very lucrative business. And I wanted to treat my employees with the respect that I thought that they deserved. I'm sad to admit that since I left, some of those philosophies have changed. I'm still on the board, and I still have arguments from time to time with the rest of our board about that. We were having a recent discussion about profitability and, you know, trying to satisfy our bank's desires to have certain levels of margin. And the first thing that some of the people on the board said, well, we need to cut benefits. We need to cut insurance compensation. Let's make them pay more than insurance. I said, guys, we are not doing that. That is not who we are. We are not going to ride to success by taking money out of the pockets of our employees. If we can't figure out a way to make this thing work the way we want it to work by just being better business people, as opposed to having to cut benefits and cut salaries to our employees, then we need to shut it down. That's not a good business. And I don't want to participate in a company like that. So it's sad, but it's what a lot of company executives do over and over and over again.
I'm putting that on a t-shirt, Stephen. If you cannot pay your employees a respectable, dignified salary with the benefits that accord to a thriving middle class, it ain't a good business model, and we gotta shut it down.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Really excited to be joined by my very special guest, Stephen Prince, the vice chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, a self-made millionaire himself, and a man that believes that paying workers a fair and dignified wage is central to any business's success. Stephen, you know a lot of other CEOs and rich folks. You live in Georgia. You're from there. I gotta imagine that you hear all sorts of rationalizations and pushback to this basic idea. Why, you know, what do you say to your business owner buddies who say that you're crazy and that we need to keep the minimum wage where it is, which was set back in, I think, 2006 or seven. It hasn't moved in nearly 20 years.
Well, you know, most everybody down here that knows me knows where I come from. They know how I feel about these things. But the other thing is, telling for someone, even a CEO of a company with 50 or 500 or 5,000 employees, they will seldom, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that they think that $7.25 is a fair wage. What they will say is that nobody gets paid $7.25 an hour, which I think is ludicrous. That's not true. I mean, you know, I think there are 20 states right now that are still $7.25 is the minimum wage, which is less than $15,000 a year. Yeah. Now, who anywhere in the United States of America can live on $15,000 a year? Especially given the fact they're even going to pay some taxes on that. Maybe with earned income tax credit, they may get a little bit of it back. But I want to veer off for just a second over what we pay people and talk about what people get to keep. Yes. I think that one of the biggest issues that I'm frustrated with right now, I'm about 80% through a book that's going to wind up having a remarkable impact on the way that I view these issues. And it's called The Wolf on K Street. And I was never aware of the history of how we got to where we are now. But it started in the early 70s, post-Nixon, when lobbyists and attorneys came to realize that they could have a huge impact on a federal and a state level in determining how much taxes corporations and individuals paid. Now, none of these attorneys or none of these lobbyists were concerned about the working class. They were only worried about the wealthy people, the business owners, the CEOs, and the upper level executives of these corporations. So they have slowly, methodically, and meticulously adjusted tax law in the last 50 years to where the working class right now typically pay a higher tax rate than the CEO of the corporation. And it's just not right. So what I'm saying is that even if you pay these people, you raise the minimum wage from $7.25 to, let's say, to $15 an hour, and it really probably should be $20 an hour, they still won't live. The way their money is treated will not be the same. another example I'll give you is inheritances. Well, you know, up until about 10 or 12 years ago, the maximum amount that you could protect if you left a large stash of cash for your kids was $650,000 per person. Today, it's over $11 million per person. So a mother and a father can leave $22 million to the children. And I had a big argument recently with another wealthy friend of mine about that very issue, because he's going to leave that much or more to his children. And he says, well, it's not right. I've already paid the taxes on it. And I said, yes, that's true. You did pay taxes on it, but your children didn't pay any taxes on it. And when they get that check for $7, $10, $15 million per child, any way you want to cut it, it's income. Yeah. And if it's income, it should be taxed as income. And whatever you, but so what they've learned to do is just you wrap another term around it, you call it another word, so you get to treat it differently. So the imbalance that's taking place in America right now is really hidden in tax law. But you know, back to the point that you'd ask about, we need to raise minimum wage, but we don't need to raise it to a set level. It needs to be set on the minimum amount of money that it takes for someone to live, which is about $40,000 a year for an individual. That needs to be the number, and they shouldn't have to pay any taxes until they get above that level. So if they make $40,000 a year, they pay zero taxes, so they get to keep it all to live on. It's a multi-leveled correction that we need to go through, but that's the tack we have to take.
And that is exactly what was proposed just last week in the American Sustainability Act, introduced by Representative Summer Lee of the 12th District of Pennsylvania, a meaningful sustainability wage that is indexed to inflation and a tax exemption for the cost of living. Right. Duh, is what I say to this. Like, why should working people who are barely getting by pay any income tax? It just doesn't make any sense. Why should wealth, capital gains be taxed differently and at a lower rate than work? It's the same sort of earning, right? Why should that income to those that are inherited not get taxed just like a working person's income? It is all of a whole. I like to say, Stephen, if you want to talk about childcare policy, if you want to talk about strengthening our borders, you're talking about tax policy and making it more fair to working people in this country. My special guest this half hour, Stephen Prince, Vice President of the Patriotic Millionaires. A bootstrap millionaire himself, earned it all on his own ingenuity and business acumen, which included paying his workers a fair wage. And folks, if you're interested in this history of tax policy that Stephen is referring to, that's going to be discussed in his new book once he gets it done, The Wolf on K Street, I'm going to be joined next Friday for an entire hour by historian Heather Cox Richardson. And all we're going to be talking about is the history of tax policy in this country. Stephen, you may find that pretty interesting yourself. I want to just ask you this baseline question, because this is how it's always framed by the right. We've got about a minute left. The right always claims that taxing, quote, job creators like yourself will hurt the economy. Fact or fiction?
That's ridiculous. I mean, to me, it's laughable. It's so self-serving that it bears no validity, as far as I'm concerned, because by saying that is you don't want to pay any taxes. I get that you don't want to pay any taxes, but I tell all my wealthy friends, if we paid our people more, they lived a better life, we still wouldn't give up any of the lifestyle that we have. We'd still have our multiple homes, we'd still have multiple cars, and we'd have our private jets. It would not change our lifestyle. But it would change the lifestyle of the people that work for us. They're not mutually exclusive goals. They really aren't. They're not fighting one another. We can do both.
We've got to leave it there. That's Stephen Prince, Vice Chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, my friend and now yours.
Thanks for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, a joint production of Civic Media and the Patriotic Millionaires. For more information, go to patrioticmillionaires.org and be sure to tell your friends. The Patriotic Millionaires buy advertising across a number of Civic Media stations.